box to box.
Can you believe it?
For Chemist Warehouse,
home of real brands and real savings.
And Storage King,
the kings of storage, moving and more.
And this could be the most crucial goal of all.
Well, as we said off the top of the show, what a roller coaster ride it's been. The giddy highs of top of the qualifying group last October to just snatching third spot in the group by a solitary point. We were all on the edge of our seats during the course of the week. Michael was, of course, in Doha, but a man who wasn't on the edge of his seat is our very next guest. He's been with us on Box to Box since day one. He's just landed in Australia. One of the heroes of the hour, Jackson Irvine. Welcome back home and congratulations, mate.
Oh, thanks, mate. So good to be back.
It's surreal, isn't it, really? I mean, we all were with you in your corner. The rest of Australia took a little bit of time to catch up. After that UAE game, the press just exploded. But if you had have been in Australia, you would have just seen the reaction. I'm sure the rest of the family, your mum in particular, has told you how big it's been. But from a personal point of view, this is your second World Cup. Just explain to us the feeling after that that last penalty was saved by the great Grey Wiggle himself.
Yeah, it was like difficult to put into words. That feeling is it's impossible to recreate. It can only be experienced through these moments in football. And as you said, everything that's happened over the last few years, and to come down to one kick of the ball, in that moment, just, yeah, as I said, the emotions were sky high, and everybody was just, yeah, ecstasy.
Jackson, you've left me in Doha all by myself, mate. I've, all the teams left me. I've just got a few of the fans that are remaining who fly back tomorrow, but congratulations. I want to ask you about the cramping, because all of the tour group were talking about just the impact of fatigue on Australia because of the match 6 days before against the UAE, and we sort of talked about the players that we thought were going to do most of the workload, and you certainly did. But I was watching you. You went down. You sort of seemed to get over it. You got up. I mean, and then you were. You had sort of maybe a minute or two to sort of cope with the cramping, but just tell us what was happening there, because we were all just praying that it would go away for you.
Yeah, it was just total body breakdown. At the end of a game like that, as you say, it's fatigue, it's everything. Everything hits you all at once. I've never experienced anything like that before in my life, with a cramp like that. Like, I genuinely couldn't. I was just praying for the referee to blow his whistle to get it over with for that last 60 seconds or whatever it was. But I said, it's part of the game, and fatigue and everything is part of it. As you say, I had to do a lot of work in over the last couple of weeks. But for guys like Aaron, who's not played football in the last 3 months, to go through 90 and 120 over those two games. Testament to the sports science, the staff, everyone we work with, to keep us, keep everybody, just scrape through the two games and get us over the line.
I obviously got an opportunity to spend a little bit of time with you guys at training, and I was, what stood out to me was just how calm and relaxed everybody was in the lead up to the match against Peru. You obviously knew there was plenty of Peruvians in town, but can you just take us into the atmosphere of the group as you built up to the game, and just how important it is to remain sort of a level-headed and calm in all the chaos that's happening around you?
It's something we talked about a lot in the build up to these two games. Some of the older players, myself, Matty Ryan, Trent Bailey, and Aaron and Lex, we just kind of thought about the environment and what we could kind of bring to the couple of weeks to add an extra edge. And although it was we do have a very relaxed culture amongst the group, what I will say for the last 2 weeks is that the intensity has just been through the roof, like with everything we've done. And I think if you ask any of the players, if you'd have asked anybody in the build up to the two games, like how the boys look and how they're feeling, they'd have just looked at you and just said they're on it. Like, that's all I can say about it. We were just on it from day one when we got into camp. We just knew what the job was, knew what we had to do. We'd be yeah, just brought an extra little edge to maybe not something that we've lacked, but maybe something that we just could have, that we needed to add for these two games, and we had it in abundance.
Jackson, just the last one from me, then we go back to Willem. Over here, the fans who've lived every moment of your journey in the last couple of weeks, but more importantly, since the last 1,010 days since we started our qualification campaign, we've just been looking at each other, smiling without saying anything. Everybody knows why we're feeling so good. Just that feeling of relief, which was probably the overwhelming feeling that I had, just that we got through. But you just found yourself looking across at one of your teammates or one of your coaches or one of the administration staff who've been with you on the whole journey, and just, you know, you meet each other's eyes and just a gentle little smile. You don't really need to say anything, do you? Everybody's feeling the same joy at the moment.
Yeah, a lot of what you're explaining, that mutual understanding of what it is you've achieved, that sometimes it's difficult to put into words, but, you know, the people that have been there and been a part of it know what we had to do to get this done. Yeah, there was a lot of that. There was a lot of tears, a lot of smiles, a lot more tears again. And then it's been that when you come through that at the end, as I say, it's just an emotional wreck. You're just physically exhausted, emotionally exhausted. And, you know, you obviously saw some of the scenes on the pitch with kind of players breaking down, and that's just, you know, it just all bubbles to the surface once you get over the line. And there's going to be a lot of those moments shared over the next few months.
Jackson, we've seen the photographic comparison between Monday night and the 2005 generation winning their penalty shootout, and you're playing the Harry Kewell role. You're in pretty much the same position. You've got the hair tied back, and at least initially you seemed a little bit calmer off the line to bolt off, and maybe the cramp played a part in that. We know you were there on that night in 2005 at Olympic Park as well. So, again, to use that word, surreal, was it a bit surreal to see yourself and your teammates in resemblance to the legends of our game?
Yeah, totally surreal. You know, something we'd tried to tap into was, you know, memories of, you know, previous Socceroos teams and what that means, Socceroos itself as a culture. And you know, something we talked about a lot was about creating our own moments, creating your own history, being a part of something that will, you know, images like that will live forever in sport and football in this country. And, you know, the fact that we've now, you know, had that moment for ourselves and it is absolutely surreal. And to be honest, I think the difference between me and Harry in that picture is Harry's soaking it all in, and I'm waiting for the fourth official to tell me that Redder's foot was on the line so I could run off. But that's the modern game now. The last thing I want to do is run down that line and then tell him that we get told he has to retake it. So I waited an extra half second just for him to give me the nod, and then I was off.
Rob mentioned you've been part of our program since the start, and we appreciate that greatly. I remember we had you on off the back of the 2018 World Cup, and Rob asked you who you thought of the next generation would be one to kick on and drive through for this qualification period. And without hesitation, you said you thought Aiden Rustich was going to be a fantastic player. So could you just touch on how far he's come and how important he's been, particularly over the last 12 months in the public eye, but behind the scenes within the group as well over the few years before that?
Yeah, he's a big character. Obviously, what he's achieved with his club this season is, you know, up there for anything achieved by an Australian footballer in Europe. It's pretty special. He's got an elite mentality in terms of self-belief and confidence, and you can see it in the way he plays. And he's had to step up massively within this campaign. I think he's one of the ones that's played most of the games, especially with players like Tom missing and Aaron missing at times as well, in terms of providing that creative spark. And, you know, he's embraced that role completely and, you know, absolutely ice cold when it's come to the key moments. And, you know, as I say, that's down to his self-belief, his mentality. And, you know, he's been a huge asset for us over the last few years, and he will continue to be so.
And another player coming through who you're going to start to see a lot more of is Connor Metcalf. How excited are you to welcome him to St. Pauli and play a big role in his development day-to-day as one of the next generation of Socceroos midfielders?
Yeah, super excited to have Connor over in Germany. Looking forward to it. I think he arrives this week, and I'm off for a little bit longer. But it's going to be great to work with an Aussie on the day-to-day, especially in the same position, and someone I can, you know, have an influence on, and hopefully help his career progress as over the coming years. And as long as he doesn't put me out of the team, that's the only one.
Hey, Jackson, back to the night itself. What a lot of us were surprised to hear in the post-match interviews with Arnie was that Matty Ryan only found out that he was going to be subbed out of the game when his number went up. So we're assuming that that was the case for everybody else. How shocked were you when you saw the switch happening, and how did you feel at the time?
To be honest, yeah, obviously surprised, but not surprised to an extent, I guess. I think when you're in these moments, your focus is so high, and your mind is so completely on the job that it's like, right, this is the decision that's been made. We practiced penalties 2 or 3 times over the last 2 weeks, obviously knowing that there's a chance we're going to be coming into the situation. And Redis saved both of mine, I think, in the build up to the game. So I was confident when I saw him coming on. But having spoken to Redis afterwards, I think he was aware that that was a possibility, and he'd done his prep. And we've got total trust in the decisions made by the staff, and it's paid off in a huge way. And but what I will say is, for Matty Ryan, just it's a testament to his leadership and the way he's managed himself over the last few years in such a vital moment, 119th minute, captain of the country, to walk off the pitch, look at your mate and say good luck when you didn't know something like that was going to happen. We've seen it in previous with other players in clubs and country situations where they've maybe not handled it so well, but he was, as you say, it's the kind of person he is, and they probably gave Redders all the confidence he needed as well to go on and finish the job.
Yeah, pure class it was. And we know Michael was one of the spectators wearing the green and gold in the stadium, but 13,000, they're suggesting Peruvian fans were there. I read an article from the local embassy that said there are 200 residents of Qatar from Peru. So that atmosphere, that vibe, just how intimidating was it on the night? And were you expecting that kind of crowd to turn up? Had you got any intel from the coaching staff that it was likely to happen?
Yeah, we were kind of prepared that they were going to have a good travelling support. We actually spoke about it just as players at one point, just to make sure that no one's caught by surprise, that it's going to be, it's going to have that kind of feel to it. It wasn't overly intimidating. They bring a very party atmosphere. It's a very good vibe in the stadium when, similar to when we played them at the World Cup, and not quite as hostile as maybe when we went to Honduras and places like that. So it was great to have that energy in the stadium, and it gives everybody a lift for the players. It makes you again recognise the magnitude of the situation when you're playing in front of that kind of crowd. So they were fantastic.
Excellent. Jackson, we could talk for the rest of the day, but we know you've literally just got off the plane and you've really indulged us to make the time to have a chat to us. Please thank your mother, Danielle, who I pressed a little hard and indulged on our friendship to make this happen, mate. Enjoy the family reunion when you get back home and the next week ahead and the coming months as you prepare for this World Cup. We'll all be in your corner as we have been since day one. And, mate, we're just so proud of you, all the boys, and so happy that you've had this happen to you guys. You deserve it, mate.
My pleasure, guys. Thanks for having me, and just glad that we've given everybody in Australian football another memory, and a good week ahead, and as you say, a good exciting few months for everyone. So. Thanks again. I'm sure I'll speak to you soon.
Yeah, absolutely will. Jackson Irvine, one of the heroes of our Socceroos, beating Peru to qualify for their fifth consecutive World Cup, which will be in Qatar in November and December later this year, and we'll bring it all to you, and we'll talk to Jackson, no doubt, again soon. So what a wonderful opportunity it was to have a chat to him just off the plane, and thanks, mate, for joining us. Up next, stick around. We're going to talk to Ron Smith, a real elder statesman of the game in this country. He is a former interim manager of the Socceroos himself, technical director. He knows everything that's gone on, is happening now, and is likely to happen in future in football. And we're really looking forward to chatting to Ron about just how he thought it all came together on that special night in Qatar. That's next on Box to Box.